Well, thank you very much for the introduction. This is George Kapsch, accompanied by Mr. Lang and Mrs. Kempöttinger. And we will do a presentation of the last quarter, or especially the first half of the current fiscal year, and a certain outlook for the rest of the year. Sorry. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are around the world. Welcome. And we'll do our best to give you precise information. So let me please start with the highlights. The second quarter of this year was positive, both on a year basis as well as sequentially. What one has to mention, especially in regard to the EBIT, is the currency exchange losses. Compared to the previous year, we have a difference of about 8 million. Last year we had a currency exchange rate gain of about 3 million. This time it's about 5.9, I think, loss. Mm-hmm. So, and this is already part of the EBIT. So if you consider that, we improved our operational performance dramatically. That's the first I wanted to mention. Secondly, regarding projects, we were able to sign a project in Zambia, which is a nationwide concession agreement lasting for 17 years for road safety and traffic management. This is a very interesting contract because it's long-lasting, it's recurring revenues. In the beginning, it's, of course, an implementation contract and following that, an operations contract. The second one was not yet signed, but awarded, and I would assume that we'll sign it shortly. It's Bulgaria. This was not in the second half. This was after the second half of the current fiscal year. But anyway, I think it's very interesting for you. It will not have a very strong impact on the current fiscal year, but it will have, of course, an impact on the forthcoming fiscal years. The third one is, as you might know, we already were holding 33% of CIMEX in Mexico, and we decided, in order to better penetrate this market, to increase our minority share and take over the entire company. So, and furthermore, there are lots of additional business opportunities in different regions, especially in Europe and in North America. But of course, there are also others in Australia and South America. So we think there is a solid pipeline, and we are optimistic and confident that we are able to realize a fair share of these market opportunities. So giving you a bit of an insight in the project Zambia, because one might think, why does Kapsch target Africa after the experience we had in South Africa? But meanwhile, South Africa turned out to be a profitable country for us, and the African continent offers lots of opportunities. And what we realize is that African governments, meanwhile, realize that just relying on Chinese is not an option for them for the future, though they are turning more and more to European suppliers. And I can assure you that we will not target countries that are not stable, because what we do not want is to to end up in a political turmoil. So what about Zambian project? It's a nationwide concession contract to improve road safety and traffic management. And the main components are vehicle inspection, vehicle registration, because they have a huge problem in registering vehicles, and in speeding fines and other traffic-related infringements. And the contract, as I mentioned previously, is a contract lasting for 17 years. Of course, you can imagine that you need a local partner, and we founded a 50-50 joint venture with a local partner called Lamis Trading, and we will not consolidate the revenues in the future, but we will consolidate that equity. But we will report the profit of the project in the EBIT, not in the financial results. The joint venture is expected to generate revenues in the first 3 years of about 90 million euros up to 110 million, depending upon the defined scope and the timeline of the implementation and the realization and operation of the project. That's about Zambia, and I would like to give you a similar explanation about the project in Bulgaria. Bulgaria is a country we are targeting for years, and finally, we got the award. And the project is a contract to design and build a nationwide GSM-based, satellite-based tolling system for trucks exceeding 3.5 tons. Furthermore, an e-vignette system for passenger cars, and the tolls will be collected on first class, second and third class roads. And it will contain about 500 terminals for registering and issuing e-vignettes, and about 100 enforcement vehicles and 100 weigh-in-motion facilities, which means that the trucks will be weighted while driving. So they have a huge problem in overweight trucks transiting Bulgaria, and there will be 100 tolling gantries, which are of course enforcement gantries. The commencement will be of the system will be 19 months after signing the contract. And this will be the sixth nationwide toll collection system in Europe for Kapsch Trafikom after Austria, Switzerland, Poland, the Czech Republic, and Belarus. So there is no one else in the industry coming even close to us in number of systems implemented and operated. So this is about Bulgaria, and I would now like to hand over to my colleague Ulrike Klemp-Pöttinger. She will lead you through the financials, and I will then continue with the outlook for the rest of the year. Ulrike?
Yeah, thank you very much for your handover and introduction. So what I would like to show you on page five is an overview of our numbers and the development of our effects. So here you see on the first revenue increase from 305.4 million to 339.8 million, so an increase by 11%. As more explained in the next two slides will be the impact why our EBITDA and our EBIT margin decreased. So the EBITDA in the percentage of the margin decreased by 2.6%, in fact 12%. So we have an EBITDA at the moment for 32.8 million. and an EBIT from 25.3 million. So the EBIT margin in our half year is currently 7%, two percentage points below our previous year. And the profit for the period shows now 14.1, and the attributable part for the equity holders is increasing to 14.6. So earnings per share are 1.12 euro for 6 months performance of Kapsch Traffic. On the next slide, you get some more facts and details about the impact on then the earnings on the EBIT and afterwards on the financial results. Let's start with the EBIT on page 6. So you see that the other operating income was in our previous year 13.9 million, but included in that number was, you'll recall the 3 million badwill from our acquisition of KTT, which was definitely one-off. And we had a favorable development of FX gains in 4.2 million, so that's more or less a significant part. This year, we here include simply 1 million FX gains, so that's 3.2 million less than the previous year. We had, when you look to the cost of materials and other production services, so a reasonable increase when you compare the increase and the growth of revenues. Our growth and the revenues grows by 11%. Cost of materials and other production services are 3%, and the staff cost increased mainly to the additional headcounts based on the acquisition of Cimex. Nearly 250 people joined us in this with this company, and we have increasing staff numbers in North America as our very important growth market for the current and also for the future. A light decrease you see in the amortization and depreciation due to the fact that some amortization out of the acquisition finished. For example, it's the Mark IV acquisition out of  2010. The other operating expenses, here you have a significant increase from 54-65.6 million. And here we have also included our significant number of X, and therefore about 7 million, sorry. That brings us to the next page and the explanation how the EBIT develops to the earnings for the period. When it comes to the financial income, then you have here included interest incomes of 2 million, FX gains of 2.6 million, and others 0.1 million. And that was included in the number of the previous year in the volume of 4.7 million. In this year, we have just 2.1, based on similar interest income, but less FX gains. And the financial cost, here we had an increase in interest expenses from 2.8-3.2, and that's explained by we have refinanced also already our corporate bond in fiscal year 2016, and had a significant cash position for the repayment of the corporate bond, and therefore interest for the so-called promissory note and the corporate bond at the same time. And the corporate bond was mentioned also in our report because the repayment happened as agreed and prepared on the 3rd of November, 2017. So that the company will have about 3 million less interest for on an annual base, interest expenses on an annual base. Well, then I would like to continue with the result for the period. So we end up with 14.1 million. Non-controlling interests are in a loss, so on 0.5, and therefore our share for our equity holders increased to 14.6, and the earnings per share, as I mentioned already, is €1.12 per share. On the next slide, you get some other key financials, which we always use to present to you so that you get a good understanding and a feeling what's going on during this first 6 months. What happens with the net investment, the free cash flow, net credit debt, and our balance sheet and the equity ratio. So here, net investment, you see that we have a huge reduction from 10.4 to 2.4 million this year due to the that we didn't have a big acquisition in this fiscal year. What we did this fiscal year was more to increase our minorities in the one or other entity like the TTS in North America. The free cash flow dropped, and that's also mainly to minus 1 million. And here we have lower earnings, and we had a strong increase in trade receivables. It's 13.7 million, which is important to mention here. Then the net credit turned into net debt, so we are now on minus 15.7. And based on, of course, the negative free cash flow, then we had the dividend payment done in September, 19.5 million, and we had several expenses for M&A activity, as I mentioned already. So the increase of our the purchase of minorities of the TTS company of 3 million and the increase of our share in Park Jockey was also paid in this last period. Our balance sheet, so the assets are quite on a stable, the net assets quite on a very stable level, 639 in comparison to 648 at the end of March. The equity ratio is 35%. Although we have paid out the dividend of 19.5 million. What will happen in the future, for especially for the equity ratio, you will have a significant improvement due to the repayment of our corporate bond of more than 70 million. On the other side, we would like to benefit from the current very low interest rate level, and we are looking for additional funds because our project pipeline is quite full, and so we would like to benefit here and improve our financing part in our business. On page 9, that's my last page where I would like to show you how is the split of our business in the tolling business and the IMS business. So here, tolling accounts for 77% of the revenues and IMS 23%. And that means that in tolling, we even increased our revenues by 16%. And we had a decrease in the IMS segment when I'm looking on the revenues by 2%. And here it's important to mention that within the Schneider acquisition, we had also some out-of-scope business which were just finalized, and we show this in the other part of the IMS segment, and therefore we had no additional revenues at that stage. Still, the profitable segment is the ETC. Here you see the EBIT margin of this segment is 12.3%. In the IMS segment, 8.6% still negative. And here you see that we have quite significant investments to improve the top line in this business segment, but the success is to gain contracts in a similar level are not fulfilled, but we are working on that to improve this situation. And now I would like to hand back and hand over to Mr. Kapsch to give you some impressions about our outlook for the fiscal year.
Well, Ulrike, there's hardly anything left because you mentioned everything. Anyway, I'll give a brief outlook. First of all, I just can reiterate that we think we have a very strong pipeline, which will help us to increase revenues. So we assume that we will have a revenue growth of at least 10% compared to the last fiscal year. But it will be a real challenge to achieve last year's EBIT due to the fact that the EBIT of last year was impacted positively by a badwill of the KTT acquisition, the Schneider acquisition of 3 million. And we had a positive impact on the exchange rates. Currently, we have a negative impact of exchange rates, which will not be easily we will not easily compensate. So this is the outlook on the financials. On the other hand, as Ulrike Klemperting already mentioned, we have paid back the bond, which was refinanced by last year's promissory note, and we have a change, of course, in the exchange rate. The corporate bond was not exchange of the interest rate. The corporate bond was 4.25, and on an average basis, the promissory note will be on approximately 1.5% interest rate, which will, of course, help us in our financial result. So that's roughly what I wanted to explain, and whatever questions you have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please.
No questions at all?
Well, we're waiting for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touch tone telephone. And we have a question from the line of Leah Sanchez de Cabezon with Kepler Chiffreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my question. One question on the IMS segment, because the revenue growth is negative in H1. Could you maybe give us some precision on the outlook for the H2? If we can expect some positive growth in revenue for this segment. And the other question is, when do you expect to sign the Bulgarian contract? Meaning that when should we expect the contract to contribute to revenues? Thank you.
Well, the second question is an estimation, or the answer to the second question is an estimation. I would assume that we'll sign it within the next 2 or 3 weeks, and there will be a revenue recognition, a remarkable revenue recognition next year. Answering your first question, whether we will be able to show an increase in the IMS or not, I think there will be a slight increase in revenues over the entire fiscal year, This will not be a huge one. Of course, due to the fact that this is a market where we are investing a lot. We are investing in, especially in on-street parking. We are investing in traffic management. We are investing in umbrella systems for corridor systems in urban areas. We will not be profitable in that segment in this fiscal year, but we are trying to do our best to reach profitability by next year.
Okay, thank you. And just one follow-up question, if I may. Can you maybe just give us some precision about the potential level of margin that you expect in the project in Zambia?
I have to apologize, but we do not officialize our margins. But I can tell you that this is not a marginal effect, so we did a solid calculation on this project.
Okay, so we can assume that this project will contribute to reach positive EBIT margin in IMS next year?
Yes, certainly.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
If it will be implemented according to our calculation, then yes, and that's what we would assume that will happen. Yeah? Thank you for your question.
And the next question is from the line of Daniel Leon with Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I would like to follow up on the Zambian contract. Maybe you can provide us with a timeline and your expectations how quickly you can implement the various parts of the contract, just to get a feeling of the scalability of the project and also maybe how to model the impact into your figures. Yeah, this would be the first one.
This is not an easy task to do. That's not easy to answer because you know this is an African country, and the contract does not exactly specify what we have to deliver when. So we will deliver according to our available capacities and according to the payback of the system. So we want to reduce our financial risk. So what we intend to do is to invest as they pay. Let me put it that way.
Okay, so this means, so where's the starting point? Where are you currently? And what would be the steps you would expect to follow?
Well, the starting point will be beginning next year, and there will be a ramp up, and I would assume that the major part of the implementation will be after 12 months, roughly. But I can't tell you the exact implementation schedule, because that depends upon certifications, approvals, and the way we want to finance it. We do not want to take lots of financial risks, so we are a bit we are careful. Although we do not assume that this is a high risk project.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically, we shouldn't expect any impact on figures this year, but rather starting from next fiscal year. to model this project in, right?
Yeah, what we can do is to capitalize the ramp-up costs. That's it. So we have a, maybe we have a discharge in our costs. But that's it was there will not be a there will not be huge revenues resulting from percentage of completion.
Okay, so this means that, you're going to sell your equipment to the joint venture and
yes, that's correct. That's correct. So that maybe that's important to clarify regarding the revenue recognition compared to consolidation. So there will not be a huge difference in recognized revenues regarding the implementation, the system supply, but there will be a huge difference in revenues regarding the operation due to consolidation issues. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, just to make sure, this 90-110 million referred to the revenues generated by the joint venture and not yours.
Yes, this
Right?
is correct. This is correct. But this is just for 3 years. So the major
Yeah,
part, the major part of these 90-110 million is system supply.
Okay, so what would be a fair assumption regarding a run rate? After year three, what would you think? What would you expect after the system supplies reimbursed, which we will see in your revenues and your profitability, or basically the equipment that you sell, we will see in the revenues profitability. What would you expect
The operation.
from the operation itself?
Yeah, somewhere in between 35 and 45 million euros a year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's perfect. And maybe could you give us a short update if there's anything new? And in Poland, there might be something new about the tendering processes in Poland and the Czech Republic. There's been some press statements lately, especially in Poland, referring to the fact that there will be a national agency taking over the responsibility for the operations. Has anything changed from your perspective at the moment, or do you regard this still
No.
as just?
Okay. Let's first address Poland. Yes, there is an idea, but this is not yet decided for nationalization. We think this is not a pretty good idea for the state, but if the state decides, that's what it's what it is. And I cannot tell you today whether this is an advantage or a disadvantage. It could turn out that it's an advantage because if they nationalize the system, they need somebody to operate it technically for them because that's what they for sure can't do. On the other hand, I do not know whether they have another plan or strategy or tactic behind. That's what I don't know.
Okay.
On the tender process itself is not yet stopped. This still continues. So the final decision is not yet taken how to proceed. Okay, that's Poland. Regarding the Czech Republic, there was a preliminary injunction filed by the cartel office, which is the procurement office in the Czech Republic, that the ministry is not permitted to sign any contract due to the fact that the procurement office is of the opinion that there might be something wrong in regards to the procurement process. As you might know, we filed a protest because our confidential documentation was handed over to our competitors by the ministry, and that's what we didn't accept. And the procurement office obviously followed our filing and issued the preliminary injunction. Anyway, the procurement process itself continues. So in January, the submission of the bid is still due. So we'll see what happens till then. But for us, of course, this is an achievement that a contract must not be signed by the ministry before clarification of the claim we filed.
And then referring to your aim to get some or make use of the currently low interest rate environment for the midterm, what do you have any specific plans how to make use of the proceeds of any additional funds, or is this just in order to be prepared to quickly react on any projects or any targets that might pop up in the short term? Maybe just to get a little bit more detailed on your view, how to.
Okay. We would never, ever take money just to have money in the pocket. So, of course, there is a rationale behind. And the rationale behind is lots of projects we have in the pipeline that have to be financed. And on the other hand, of course, as you can imagine, we are always screening the market for additional acquisition targets. So there is one or the other in the pipeline currently. And therefore, we prepare ourselves to be able to finance them on a mid to long-term basis. And why shouldn't we make use of low interest rates that still exist, believing that interest rates will increase over the next 3 to 5 years? So it's better to secure money on a very low interest rate.
So, referring to the project, this would mean that there's more PPP-like projects that you would be interested to do or to at least to participate in a tender for such.
Yes, certainly. We participated in three tenders in Germany. We participated. We have Bulgaria tender. There are lots of projects in the United States that have to be financed. So that's, therefore, we would need the funds.
Okay. And the last one on the synergies from the KTT integration, your operations in the U.S., what would be an assumed amount of synergies you would expect to raise by the end of this year compared to now the half year?
Unfortunately, I have to disappoint you in that regard. I can't answer that question because we are currently under huge pressure in the United States because we have that many projects in the pipeline that we are very close to being unable to answer all the opportunities we have. So we are currently concentrating more on new opportunities compared to reducing costs.
Okay. So what would be the total amount of pipeline of contracts you have in the pipeline for the U.S.?
Is well, the
kind of figure or range
within the next 18 to 24 months, there will be about $2.2 billion that have to be targeted. We will not win them anyway, but if we target according to a fair opportunity qualification, a fair proportion of them, we should also be able to win projects to an amount that will help us to further increase our market share in the U.S. So the total addressable market within the next 24 months is about $2.2 billion, both in electronic toll collection and in traffic management.
Is it taking your market share in the U.S.? This would translate to several millions of dollars, which would be actually close to Cap Trafficom before the Televent acquisition. Would you have enough capacities to deliver all these projects?
Sorry, I didn't understand your question.
Do you have? We are talking now about if we take your market share in the U.S., I would assume it to somewhere between 20-25%. This would translate into if this would be the hit rate, we would be talking about 500 million of U.S. dollars in contract volume. Would you as Kapsch in the U.S. have enough personal capacities to handle such a big size of contracts?
Yes, we are currently building up capacities in the U.S., but just in accordance with projects we are winning, because I do not want to heavily pre-invest in future market opportunities, because that's a learning from the past. That's what I did in 2012, 2013, and this had a negative impact on our results, and therefore I'm very, very cautious in front up investments in HR capacities. Anyway, we need to increase our workforce in the U.S. In order to be able to perform as we performed in the past, in case we are going to win a high proportion of the tenders we are participating in. But but I'm confident that we will manage that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I hope I could answer your questions.
Yeah, you did.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. We are waiting for further questions. Please use the opportunity to ask your questions by pressing star followed by one. Mr. Kapsch, we have no further questions. I hand back to you for closing comments.
Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your questions, because, you know, raised questions always trigger learning effects. Thank you for your questions. And I hope our team here, Ulrike Klempöttinger, Hans Lang and myself, could give you a valid overview on what Kapsch is all about and where we are heading to. And please don't hesitate, if you have further questions, to call one of us. Thank you very much and have a nice day, morning or evening, wherever you are. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.